Good afternoon. My name is Barry Bennett. I'm from Karis Bible College. I'm an instructor here, and I'm going to be with you for a few minutes answering questions about last week's online Bible study with Andrew Womack and special guest Audrey Mack last week. So I'll be getting into that in just a minute. I want to remind you that tonight we have another online live Bible study. It will be Carrie Pickett and Hannah, and they will be here for ladies' night, I guess I was told. So it's going to be a special edition tonight, ladies only. But men, you can sneak in, I guess, if you want. I'm sure it'll be good. So we are going to be answering some questions from last week's study with Audrey Mack, and hopefully we can help some of you out there with these questions. I cannot take live questions now at this time. We're not formatted for that. Tonight they will be able to take live questions. Okay, so the first question we have this week, Pastor Mary on chat. How would you explain the difference between your emotions and the still small voice in your spirit to a baby Christian? This is a great question. And I think probably in my many years of walking with the Lord, learning to hear the voice of God has been a continually evolving process, which I understand now much more than I did as a younger person. How important it is for us to hear God, but you've got to begin with the idea that we were created to hear God, but that we are word creatures. We were created by the word of God. God is a word God. He speaks to us. And so Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And so it's something that we should expect. Hearing God should be normal. It should be abnormal to not hear him. The word is always alive and active. So hearing God should be a normal thing. So how can you tell? Well, the problem exists in the fact that we are bombarded with so many other voices. Even within ourselves, we have the voice of our flesh. Our flesh wants things. We have the unrenewed mind many times, and our mind is relying on memories. We have our feelings, our emotions, all of those we could call voices. Then we have the voices of the world. All of the things that we may be exposing ourselves to through media, entertainment, politics, the news, other people. All of those are voices. And so within the great spectrum of hundreds, perhaps, of voices that are bombarding us with information, with doubt, with fear, with whatever, we somehow need to hear God. Now, I don't think it's impossible because God has created us to hear him. But it's going to require a little bit of sensitivity or desensitizing ourselves to the things of the world and becoming more sensitized to the voice of God. It is possible you can do it, but there needs to be a foundation. So the question again, how would you explain the difference between your emotions and the still small voice of God? Emotions, human emotions, run the gamut of positive to negative. Human emotions can be filled with fear, anxiety, depression, all kinds of different negative emotions, we can say. Or there can be brief spurts of happiness and joy, then followed by a downhill slide into some other emotion. Emotions are triggered by music. They're triggered by sad scenes in movies or happy scenes. Or you can get emotional when you see a soldier on Facebook coming home and surprising his kids somewhere. We get emotional about many different things. Emotions can be triggered by many things. Many people that live on the level of their emotions, they live in mood swings. They swing from one mood to another. They don't know from one day to the next whether it's going to be a good day or a bad day. It's not a choice they make, but rather they are living a reactive life to stimuli from outside, whether it be voices or other things that we see. So, mood swings, emotions. A lack of stability, emotions. A lack of peace, emotions. How can we tell if it's the voice of God? The voice of God is going to give you faith and peace. Now, I will repeat this. Many of these questions are along the same line here. You know you've heard from God when faith is activated in your heart. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. We know we've heard from God when faith comes alive, or when faith is activated, however you want to say it. That is one of the telltale signs of hearing God. I have known when I have heard God, because all of a sudden, all of the mountains that seem to be in my way became hills, became bumps, speed bumps. Because when I got a word from God, that was all I needed. Now I know I can do this. It's not that I can do it, but God is going to do this through me by faith because I heard his voice. I heard his word. And so it's not an emotional mood swing thing. There's no uncertainty when you've heard from God. You know that you know that you know. And I would suggest that the faith that comes from hearing God is accompanied by peace. It will be an inner peace, not necessarily peace around you. There can be all kinds of things going on around you, but you will have peace because you have the faith of having heard God. This is when you know. If you're still in a place of uncertainty, if you're still in a place of swinging emotions and moods and feelings, and I'm not sure, and I don't know, and I wonder what you think, and what do they think, and what somebody else think, you haven't heard from God yet. You'll know when it happens. You'll know because you will have a faith that will propel you to take whatever action is next. And you'll have a peace, divine peace, in the midst of it. So these are good ways to know when you're hearing God versus if it's just your emotions. Here's a couple more verses for you here. 1 Corinthians 14:30. Well, no, that's the next question. Okay, we'll move on to the next question. Sarah Breeze on chat. Sarah Breeze on chat. How can you differentiate between a stop from the Holy Spirit, stop in quotes, from the Holy Spirit, or anxiety of the flesh? My flesh tends to worry and doubt, and often it can be hard to tell if it is the Spirit bearing witness or just me. Same answer, basically, same kind of question. When you get a stop or you get a don't go there from the Holy Spirit, again, it's going to come accompanied with faith and peace. That's just my basic plumb line for these things. When all of us, and faith is going to give you a vision for what's next, or faith is going to give you words to speak, that you will know when you're in faith, and you'll know that you've heard from God when you're in faith. And so when the Holy Spirit says, don't do this, and I've had this happen over several events in my life, where I was about to move my wife and I out into a place that was rather rural. I won't go into the whole story. Many years ago, back in, I think, the 80s. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just took my peace away, in a sense, of doing what I was going to do, and put in a clear word of no, accompanied by its own peace, that I had the peace to say no to some people and no to a situation, and the faith to do it. And so it was a lack of peace in the natural and a new supernatural peace that came in its place with the faith to be able to say no and to not do that. I could go through a number of stories. And so when it's a no, again, it's if you're hearing God, faith is going to be the fruit of hearing God. And it's going to come with an inner peace that you will have the fortitude, you will have the wherewithal to say yes or to say no or to say whatever needs to be said in order to move through that situation. Some verses again. I've quoted Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God is not the author of confusion. So when you hear from God, you will not be still confused. If you're still confused, you haven't heard from God yet. These are just basic things that we need to understand. So God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Peace, inner peace. Now, again, it may be chaotic around you, but you will have inner peace when you hear from God. James 3:16 says, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Now, there's layers here. I don't have time for all of this. But confusion is a function of envy and self-seeking, or we could say the flesh. When we're wanting something for ourselves, confusion is going to be a symptom of that kind of thing. Self-seeking, selfishness, envy, that's going to be a place of confusion. So if we're in confusion, maybe we're not, our heart's not in the right place, and that's why we're having trouble hearing from God. So we've got to make sure our hearts are right with God. We've got to make sure that we're in a place of sensitivity to Him, turning off as much as possible the other voices, expecting to hear from God. And then faith and peace will be what is birthed in your heart for the situation. Next question, Joe Fiore on chat. When a godly man, someone you revere, gives you direction and it causes guilt, how do you know it's not the Holy Spirit convicting you? Okay, I don't know if I really understand the question. A godly man gives you direction, so that's my first question. A godly man can give you counsel, can give you some wisdom. I don't know that they can give you direction. I'm not sure exactly how to understand that. It causes guilt. Well, is it causing guilt, or is it a word of correction that you don't like? Okay, I don't know you, Joes, and I'm not on anybody's case here, but I know what I've been through. And sometimes I don't like correction. None of us really like correction. But it's not producing guilt. It's just exposing the fact that I don't want to be corrected. So I don't know which it is in your case. But a word from God isn't going to give you guilt. Okay, so we'll say that your heart is pure, everything is good, and a man of God comes to you and gives you a word, and there's guilt involved. Well, guilt's only going to come from condemnation or judgment, making you feel unworthy in some way or that you've made a mistake in some way. So I'm going to question whether that's a word from God at all. I don't know all the circumstances here, so it's hard for me to know. The Holy Spirit will correct you. The Holy Spirit will reprove you. 2 Timothy 3, 16 talks about the Word of God will reprove and correct us, and we know the Spirit and the Word are one. They work together. So there's nothing wrong with the Spirit correcting you or reproving you when you need it, exhorting you, but it won't condemn or give you a guilt trip. Okay, the Word won't do that, and the Spirit won't do that either. Okay, next question, Oke on chat. How do you know when you've actually lost your peace versus when you're fearful? If you've lost your peace, you're going to be fearful. I'm not sure I get this question very well either. If you've lost your peace, you've lost your faith. In other words, faith and peace, internal peace, are going to walk hand in hand. You're going to, if you hear from God, you're going to have that faith and that peace on the inside. If you don't have that, then your only other option basically is fear. Fear is going to be the absence of faith or the absence of hearing from God. So if how do you know when you actually lost your peace versus when you're fearful? I would say the two don't work together. And so if you've lost your peace, you're going to be fearful. If you get a word from God, in spite of how big the challenge may look, if you get a word from God, you will have peace on the inside. You will know that you know that you've won this battle. And so you can press on in spite of the challenges when you have a word from God. You will have peace in the midst of the storm. All right, next question, Narissa on Facebook. I've heard pastors at churches say to someone directly that God told me to tell you something, and the pastor would proceed to deliver the message from God. Can God deliver a direct message through a pastor to someone else? All right, this is tricky. I've seen this done, unfortunately done not in a good way. I was a pastor for a number of years in Latin America, and so if I sense something for someone in my congregation, if I have a revelation about their life or I know something they need, then I'm not going to walk up to them and say, God told me to tell you that. That's not my style. I don't know. But I would bring them in and I would say, you know, how are you doing? Tell me what's up. I would begin to go into more of a counseling mode and tell me what you think about this. I feel like the Lord has said to me something about your situation. And so I'm going to put it out there in more of a let's talk about this kind of an attitude rather than thus saith the Lord. I have seen that abused in people's lives, and they're fearful of their pastor, and if the pastor comes up and says that God has given me a word for you, well, I mean, what are you supposed to do with that? They've played the God card already. Once they say God has given me a word for you, then what are you going to do? And so that puts people in a very uncomfortable position. Maybe he missed it. Maybe it wasn't God. Maybe it was his feelings, emotions, flesh, anxiety, frustration. Who knows where that word may come from? If it's me and I'm the pastor and I feel like the Lord is showing me something for or about someone, I'm going to bring them into a place of confidence in which we can discuss, and then I will propose, perhaps this is what you need. I'm not going to come with a thus saith the Lord. I just simply don't think that's wise in most cases. Okay? The fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, we exist, or they exist, to bring encouragement, to bring instruction, at times correction, but the whole point of the fivefold ministry is to build people up in their own walk with God. And we have the fivefold ministry mentioned in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. It says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints." So anything that we share with people should be equipping them, not tearing them down. "For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So we're wanting to build people up. Now, that doesn't mean we don't correct. There are times when correction is needed. But how we correct is the key. All right, "till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children." So the fivefold ministry is wanting to take us from immaturity into maturity. That's the heart of a minister. The true heart of a minister is to bring people up into the place of maturity in their walk with God. All right, so there's more there. But thus saith the Lord, God told me this for you. I don't go there. I think there are potential problems in that approach. I would do it a different way. All right, next question. Darius, D-E-R-I-U-S, on chat. "When I was a kid, I used to hear my dad's voice while I was outside playing, but when I went to see what he wanted, he would say he didn't call me. This still happens, but rarely. I tried answering, thinking it was God, but when I do, I no longer hear the voice. How am I supposed to answer, and how do I listen?" Okay, I'm getting some unusual questions today. We have memories. I have memories of my father's voice. I have memories of when I was a kid out playing and he would call me. And so I can, once you have something in your memory bank, it can pop up sometimes at any moment. I say things to my wife that she's not expecting, little jokes or sayings that just came up from 50 years ago or something. She says, "I've never heard you say that before. It just was in there and it happened to come out now." So many times we can hear someone's voice without them having spoke. In other words, your memory grabs something and brings it to your remembrance, and you hear it thinking perhaps you even heard it audibly, but you didn't. It's just simply a memory. And so it's not God, it's just memory. If it's not producing, once again, if what you're hearing is not producing faith and peace, if it's not moving you into a place of knowing that you know and what to do next and what to say next, then it's not the voice of God. It's not the voice of God. I just put it on the shelf and move on. I don't spend a lot of time with things I don't understand. There are things that are unusual to me. I just don't have time for that because I know what the Word says. I spend a lot of time in the Word, and I know when I hear God how that changes in my heart, what happens, the changes that take place when I hear God. So things that I don't understand, the weird, the mystical, the out there, I don't go there. I don't have time. It's not beneficial for me. It doesn't edify me. So if you're hearing things from your memory, I would say put it on the shelf, get in the Word, and spend some time expecting to hear from God. All right. Malcolm on chat. Malcolm on chat. "What is the effect of fasting on hearing from God?" All right. Fasting is a type of the discipline of the flesh, or we could say, in a sense, desensitizing the flesh, though it may be much more sensitive right at first. But the goal is to spend time with God. I've never seen the point in fasting without spending time with God. I don't get that. But if you're fasting in order to spend time with God, and that is your purpose, then you are subjecting your flesh so that you can be more sensitive to the Spirit. That's a good thing. And so the more that we can turn off the voices, even of hunger, the voices of entertainment, the voices of politics, all of the other voices that are going on around us, and we concentrate on the Word, I would say, and I'm not trying to hear God, I will be in the Word, and the Lord will speak to me through the Word. 99% of the time, that's where it comes from. Or if I'm not in front of the word when God speaks, he's speaking through word I have sown into my heart over the years, that something will come alive, a verse or a knowing of some kind. It says in Acts 13:2, it says, "And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Spirit said," this is about separating Barnabas and Saul to apostleship. It says, "They ministered to the Lord and fasted." So fasting is not just something going without food, but we're ministering to the Lord in this time of fasting. And as we're in worship, we're in praise, we're in the word, we're praying in the spirit. We're just not going to eat this meal or the next meal because we want to be in the presence of the Lord. This is sensitizing your spirit to the voice of God. And these are powerful moments when something quickens in your spirit. And we can say we've heard, or we can say we've seen. We can say the light came on, something got quickened. All of those terms mean basically the same thing. And you'll know it because all of a sudden you will be propelled into something new, or you'll have a new understanding. You'll have a new energy. You'll have peace that accompanies that. And that's when you know you've heard from God. All right. I'll do a couple more here. Ed in New Jersey on chat. "It seems like an imperfect or difficult form of communicating with God that is only learned through patience," talking about hearing God. "Is this by design to make it more difficult?" Quick answer, no. "And therefore only those who are motivated and patient reap the rewards versus everyone quickly connecting with them. Is this a narrow gate to gain his connection?" I'll go back to what I started with in the beginning. Everybody was created to hear God. Everyone can hear God, and God is always speaking. It's not that he's silent for a couple days and then pipes up. God's word is alive and active. He is always speaking. All of his promises are yes and amen. And so beginning with the word, that's where we're going to begin hearing. You're not going to hear God any more than you love his word. There might be, you know, I'm not going to make that a carte blanche statement, but you typically, to the degree that you love God's word, that you're in the word, you're going to be more prone to be hearing from him, because the word is alive. His word is spirit. It's truth. It will make you free. And so it's not created to be difficult. What's made it difficult is all the sin in the world. What's made it difficult is our attention being diverted in so many different directions towards so many different pursuits. We are so oriented toward what the world is offering, and the world is continually offering new products to grab our attention. Different kinds of phones and tablets and pads and devices and entertainment issues and all kinds of electronic things. And then we wonder why we can't hear God. Well, we can, but we may need to turn some things off so that we can be in a place to hear what God is saying to our hearts. So God's not trying to make it difficult. It's just simply we've made it very difficult in the world in which we live. Okay, last question, Pink Rainbow on chat. "I heard at the conference on healing," so I'm assuming you mean our Healing is Here conference, "that if you're sick, you're walking in sin." The question goes on, I'll finish it in a minute, but Pink Rainbow, no, you did not hear that. That was never said. I was there. I have taught in that conference myself in the past. I know the speakers that taught this past time. If you're sick, it does not mean you're in sin. So no one said that. You may have thought someone said that. You may have misinterpreted what was said, but that simply is not true. "I have been mostly in bed with severe incurable illnesses, but I live my life in the spirit. Read the word many long, exciting hours a day, and I was shocked by this." I would be too. "I live a holy life, not perfect, but I love the Lord with all my heart, and I seek only his will for me. Is this scriptural?" No. And if someone said that, I would be shocked. I mean, I wasn't there for every single session, but I know the people involved. I have not heard anyone say what you have said about the conference. And so I'm going to say perhaps you misunderstood or misheard what was being said. Sin can be an open door to sickness, personal sin. Let's back up. Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden is what unleashed death and sickness. That's the problem. Okay, now, we can cooperate with that problem or with that result, and we can have our own personal sin, which can be an open door. And we can quickly mention sexual immorality can open very quickly a door to sexually transmitted diseases. So there's a case in point where a sin can be the open door to a sickness. But in many cases, personal sickness is not involved. There may be some other factors involved, natural or spiritual. And so it does not mean that you're in sin. So I can't tell, you know, that's not my job to know who's doing what with their life. But I know this, regardless, there is grace for you. There's grace. If we have sinned, there's grace for forgiveness and healing. If it's not your sin, if it's some other natural cause or genetic cause or something else going on in your life or in the world around you, there's grace for that. God wants you well. It's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we know that, that Jesus came to give us abundant life. God wants us well. And so I would say that, no, that wasn't said. You were probably, something got misunderstood there. But have no fear. God has grace for you. And I just want to pray for you right now. Pink rainbow on chat. You're struggling with something, but Father, we just speak the grace of God, the healing power of God into this person now. In Jesus' name, we agree with their faith. We agree with your grace and your purpose for her life or his life. And we thank you, Father, for raising them up in Jesus' name. Praise God. All right, I want to remind you again to come back and be with us tonight, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, Ladies' Night with Carrie Pickett and Hannah. And they're going to have a great message for you. We'll see you next week.